Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Cinematic Adventures. Don't forget, if you guys are listening to us on the go, you can find us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, basically anywhere you get your podcasts. You can also find more of our content on our YouTube channel. Make sure if you guys are watching us on YouTube, like, comment, and subscribe for more completely mediocre content. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Paul. With me via the Zoom studio and from your mom's diary is Sean. Sean, how are you today?
I'm just feeling mediocre, so I'm perfect right there.
I find that if we set the bar at a mediocre level, then you know what? We're good.
We're good. I think that's fair.
Exactly where we need to be. But
aim for shit and you'll get better.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't go that far, but.
Yeah, but mediocre is mediocre. Yeah.
If I remember, I'm going to put an image of Jeff Goldblum looking at the giant dinosaur pile.
That is a big pile of shit.
And I'm going to put it right there. All right. But anyway, we are back. And this week we have a fun topic that we're going to be talking about. We're not talking about a specific movie, but we are going to be talking about some of the greatest movie plot twists and endings of all time. So Sean and I have each compiled a list. We're going to go back and forth and kind of discuss each movie. Now, that is also to say, there will be spoilers. Some of these movies are older. Some of these movies are a little bit more recent, but there will be spoilers for any of these movies that you haven't seen. So make sure if you guys haven't, seen a movie that we're about to discuss, just pause, see the movie, and then come back if you remember. But anyway, all right. So, Sean, would you like to kick us off with number one on your list?
Okay, well, I'm going to start with one of the shocking movie endings of all time. And I think this is a movie that you and I both agree is one that is highly quoted whenever you get a package from Amazon. And that is the movie Seven.
Oh, what's in the box?
What is in the box? And
what's in the box?
This is the great David Fincher. This was the movie, I think, that shot him into prominence as a director. And you get Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman and Kevin Spacey. And it's just one of those movies that it's going and you're like, okay, this is really good. And, it's very psychological. And then just that ending just throws you for a loop.
That ending. Oh, man. When that package gets delivered, and you don't see it, and that's the beauty of it. You never see what's in the box. You know what's in the box, and Brad Pitt obviously asked what's in the box, but it's still one of, yes, that is, ironically, that's like the only quote from that movie that I'll constantly do. There's not a whole lot of others that jump out at me.
No, it's not, I wouldn't call it the most quotable movie, but that's the moment that, I mean, this movie is, when did this movie come out? 1995. So we're almost at 30 years on this movie of what's in the box.
Well, let's do an actual episode for this movie, because I would love this movie. It's for those of you guys who haven't seen Seven, it's fantastic. And it's two detectives following this serial killer who's using the seven deadly sins. And he finally, when he turns himself in, that's my favorite scene in the entire movie, when he's in the middle of the police precinct, just terrifying. But yeah, the last scene is he delivers the head of Gwyneth Paltrow to Brad Pitt, the character's wife. And it is just, it's rough.
And Morgan Freeman's acting in that scene is just like, you feel for the man. Cause like, we have a situation and I don't know how to deal with this. Like, he's trying his best to talk Brad Pitt down, but obviously that's the whole point, is that, he wants Brad Pitt to kill him.
Yeah. Because what is Brad Pitt's wrath? Like, Kevin Spacey's character just finds himself as envy.
Envy's
the life of, but in all honesty, like, we can all say that we would handle that situation a certain way, but like, I think Brad Pitt handles it the most human way possible by just blowing him away. Like, I can't imagine what would that, ugh, see, that scares me. All right. So I'm going to go, we're going to stay with Brad Pitt for a hot second, because the 90s was peak Brad Pitt, right? And no movie, this movie, way more quotable, way more twist. And it's my favorite twists are the ones that make you want to watch the movie again through a different lens, and that is Fight Club. Now, normally we don't talk about Fight Club, but for today's episode, we're going to talk about Fight Club. So, for those of you guys who don't know, the end of Fight Club, or maybe like the start of the third act, kind of, because we're also talking plot twists. We're not just talking about the endings themselves, but also plot twists. The plot twist is that Brad Pitt's character is actually just a figment of the narrator's imagination. The narrator has dissociative identity disorder. He creates Brad Pitt's Tyler Durden character as like the peak male. Like, this is what a man should be. This is how he should look. This is how he should fight. Like, all these things. And we find out that he's been doing all the things that Tyler Durden's been doing. And then you actually get flashbacks of scenes that already happened, and you see them through a different lens. But for me, like, that movie, when you find out that twist, it makes you want to just put it back on again and watch it. Like, I wish I could watch that for the first time again, because it so good. And I don't remember if it was spoiled beforehand for me, like if I knew that Tyler Durden wasn't real. But you know what? I was pointed out to me that I never noticed. They never say Edward Norton's character's name.
No, that was a trivia question that, you know, trivia night like years ago. I just, you know, remember, I was like, you know, what is the name of Edward Norton's character in Fight Club? And
he's the narrator.
He was like, I'll take the narrator, or I'll just take, he didn't have a name, you know, like if depending on how you wrote it. But yeah, I remember that being a trivia question. Another David Fincher film.
Mm-hmm. And
you know, the man is just fantastic at these suspense thrillers, and you know, really taking the audience on a ride that, you know, a lot of times you don't forget.
Right. I thoroughly enjoy Fight Club. It's one of those movies that is more and more relevant every year, and just especially the way that our world's going sometimes. But like, it's so iconic. It is so good. It is so well acted. Say what you will about Edward Norton as a person, because I've heard he's kind of an asshole in real life, but like, the man can act.
I love Edward Norton. I think he's one of the best actors out there. I mean, the man goes from, you know, American History X to Fight Club to The Hulk to Death to Smoochie. You know, playing a Barney like, you know, children's television actor. I mean, I just thought that was great.
You love that.
I do love that movie. I think that movie is such an underrated gem.
All right.
So we are going to go, and for me, I'm going to go with The Usual Suspects.
Oh, that was on my list too.
And this movie is, I would call this movie one of the more shocking endings that you've seen in theaters. I don't know if shocking is the right word, but like, just one of the best written. I think it's one of the best written films of all time. And just that scene where Chaz Palminteri is staring at the board, and he immediately is noticing all these little bits of information that he recalls from what Kevin Spacey has been telling him all day. I mean, it is just, I mean, I saw the spoof in Scary Movie before I saw, you know, the original movie, but it doesn't take away from the shock of what they just threw at you. And then, of course, the scene of him limping and then walking normally, and he, you know, takes his fingers, which were glued together, and like snaps them. Oh, just, you know, I think it's one of the best endings ever in movie history.
And again, it's another movie ending that makes you want to rewatch the film and see it's so good. Oh God, I love that movie. You know how the original tone of that movie was supposed to be, right?
Nah, what was it when
they wanted it to be like a much more serious movie, but then like they started doing like, obviously the interrogation scene is probably the most iconic shot of the entire movie. Like the whole them all standing there. And apparently, I think it was the Baldwin that was in it. Benicio Del Toro. He couldn't stop.
Yeah.
And so that's why they're all giggling, because he just keeps letting them rip. And it became one of the most iconic scenes in the entire movie. So for me, that's such a good movie. I got to watch that movie again. I haven't seen it in quite some time. But yeah, same thing. I saw the Scary Movie spoof before I saw the actual movie. All right, let's see. Now, here's one. I don't think you've seen this one, but I put it on here because the ending is just, it's actually just kind of messed up. Old Boy.
I have not seen Old Boy.
So there are two versions. There's the original Korean film, and then there was a Josh Brolin remake, where it was Josh Brolin and Elizabeth Olsen, of all people. Yeah. And for those of you guys who don't know, the movie takes place. This Korean businessman gets locked up unexpectedly in this room. He's in there for a couple of years, I want to say. And then he's mysteriously released, and he's trying to figure out, like, why was I locked in this room? And the whole time he's, like, fight training and all this stuff, and he meets this girl, and the plot twist of the end was the guy who imprisoned him arrange for him to meet this girl. It's actually his daughter, and they canoodle, and then like he finds out, and he's like horrified and all these things, and the movie just kind of ends with him, we're not sure where he's at, and it's just such a great plot twist, and just, it was unexpected and unfortunately gross, but it's such a good movie. There's this infamous hallway fight scene. It, like, as much as Daredevil defines hallway fight scenes for like television, this movie defined them for, and it is fantastic. But obviously you haven't seen it, though.
I have not, but now I want to.
I just spoiled it for you.
I've known about it. I'd say it is what it is.
It is what it is. All right, go ahead. You got one?
Yes, I do. I have the Martin Scorsese 2006 Oscar winner, The Departed.
Departed.
This movie is, I feel like this movie has kind of, it's not as memorable to a lot of people. It's been, you know, God, 18 years since this movie came out. It clearly is not, in my opinion, up there with a lot of the other Scorsese films. But I think it's just, what's so good about this movie is the ending. I mean, it's one of those endings where you do not see this coming at all. You think, okay, great. You know, Matt Damon's going to get caught. DiCaprio's going to turn him in. DiCaprio's going to end up with the girl. All great. And then you get that elevator scene and like, what the F just happened?
Mm-hmm.
I literally just saw DiCaprio get his head blown off. Like, what the F? And you're like, is Matt Damon going to get away with this? Like, is this how this movie's going to end? Like, I'm going to be really ticked off. And, you know, it's going that way. And then we get, I think even better, we get, you know, Mark Wahlberg, you know, just finishing him off. And I love that scene because Damon's just like, all right. Just yep. Do it. You know, my life's miserable. I got nothing to live for. Just do it.
Yeah.
He's got he's covered his shoes. He's like, you know, in like a gym outfit, you know. It is just like, it's one of those. I think that movie's more memorable for that ending than really for anything else. Obviously, it wins Best Picture of the year, but, you know.
I want to say that that ending was actually a rewrite or a reshoot because it's found that the movie just ended in such a downer note, but I have to double check that. Because, yeah, the movie does end in like, with DiCaprio dead and, you know, the bad guy wins. Like, he gets away with it. And it's only because they never explain how Dignam knew what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Wahlberg's character. You want to assume that, like, Leo sent him something or, like, he kind of...
Or he's been following Damon since he quit the force after Martin Sheen was killed. Because, like, after Martin Sheen gets killed, like, Damon gets full access and Wahlberg's like, you know, screw this, I'm done. And he walks out. And you don't see him again. You literally do not see him again until that ending scene. And you're just like, holy shit.
I still love the scene where the two of them fight and and then he puts him on leave. And he's like, I'd rather hand him my paper. The world needs plenty of bartenders. I love that line. I don't know what it is, but just, it always makes me laugh. And let's keep it going with Leo. All right. You ready?
Leo.
We did not plan this list, by the way. And the fact that we're segueing into each other's is a lot of fun, and I'm going to keep it going. So this movie, one of the most, I don't want to say it's a plot twist per se or like an unexpected ending, but
the ship sank, dude. We know this.
Yes, the ship sank. Oh, dang it. He could have fit on that door. Rose was just selfish, all right? Mm-hmm. And then she threw the diamond in the ocean. Never mind. But the movie I'm talking about is Inception, an ending that caused endless debates and fan theories and all these things. So let's go back. For those of you guys who haven't seen Inception, what are you doing? Like, go watch Inception. It's a great movie. Have a Leonardo DiCaprio marathon. Like, I think that'd be a lot of fun. So Inception, it's all about dreams, like going into people's dreams and stealing information, which is called extraction. But Inception is putting an idea in somebody's head, and that's the heist. It's like a brain thought heist, which is awesome. And it's Christopher Nolan, so it's got beautiful visuals, beautiful sound, all these different things. It's the first time I really saw Tom Hardy.
Yeah, that was because it was right after this movie was Dark Knight Rises. And this was, you know, the first movie really where he kind of stood out.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to dream a little bigger, darling. Joseph Gordon-Levitt. That's another one. Joseph Gordon-Levitt. That was like him coming back into the prominence, I think, for me.
Yeah. Yep.
Went from a third rock from the sun. That was him.
Yep. Third rock from the sun.
And of course, Angels in the Outfield. We love Angels in the Outfield. But so Inception ends with Leonardo DiCaprio. He pulls off the job that he's supposed to do. He gets to go home and he puts his spinning top, which is his totem, which shows if he's dreaming, it keeps spinning. If he's not dreaming, it'll fall like a regular top. And he's walking to his kids and the camera slowly pans over to it. And there it is, still spinning. And we're all like, ah, and then it does a little wobble and then the movie ends. Yeah. So for you, Sean, was he dreaming and he just accepted, like, this is the closest I'm going to get to reality at this point? I'm going to stay here in this dream world? Or do you think he actually got home? Oh, man.
It's tough because, I mean, you do see that, just that little wiggle. And it's just so done so brilliantly. And you feel for the guy, and because obviously what he's been through. I'm going to say he got back. I'm going to say the thing does end up falling and he gets back, but we'll never know, obviously. But I think that was one of the, I remember seeing that we were in theater together. We saw that movie and we're just like, what?
Yep.
And we literally debated it for like the next like half hour after the movie.
Oh, at least. It's a good thing we can have a podcast then.
Oh God. we were able to do this back then when we went to go see a movie like every weekend.
Those were the days. Now it's either that or groceries. Sorry. I guess grocery shopping is more expensive than going to the movies now. It's wild. Yeah. You're up. You got one?
Yes, sir. I have the 1968 classic Planet of the Apes.
Ooh,
arguably one of the greatest surprise endings in movie history. We're not talking about the bullshit remake, in 2001. We are talking about the classic sci-fi. And obviously, for anyone who has not seen the original Planet of the Apes, you know, God help you. You are just a disgrace to humanity. But so obviously the story is Charlton Heston plays an astronaut. The ship crash lands on a world that is dominated by apes who have mutated into, you know, basically human, you know, elements of apes. And, you know, he's the only speaking human. He's trying to figure out what has happened. He ends up, you know, getting away at the end of the movie, and he comes across the decrepit ruins of the Statue of Liberty. And it is just one of those, I mean, we say the word all the time. It's one of those most iconic scenes in film history. You know, when he goes on his little rant saying how, because this is during obviously the Cold War, you know, obviously, you know, US and Russia are like, you know, staring each other down with, you know, weapons. And, you know, the world was destroyed, and it led to the mutation of apes. And, you know, he's been home this whole time. And, you know, if they had not done a sequel, I mean, it's still one of the greatest endings of all time. I think if they had just stopped there, it might be the greatest ending to a movie of all time. But of course, we got four sequels after that and gotten countless remakes. So it's kind of diluted it in a little, in my opinion. But, ooh, wow, what a moment.
It's funny you bring up, because obviously the newest one is coming out very soon. I think like in a couple of weeks from time of recording, they're doing the next. Mm-hmm. I forget what it's called, but I really I saw the first two. Rise and Dawn of Planet of the Apes. I didn't see the one with Woody Harrelson. That's the one I still have to watch. And then I think there might be one more after that. Or this.
I want to say this might be the fifth one. Yeah, it's been a lot.
But they're fantastic. I was so pleasantly surprised with the prequel with James Franco. I was shocked how much I thoroughly enjoyed that. And obviously Andy Serkis is fantastic as Caesar. We could do a whole episode on Planet of the Apes. Maybe that'll be down the pipeline, a Planet of the Apes franchise look. Cause I'll even justify certain parts of the Mark Wahlberg thing. It's a terrible movie completely. It's like,
the makeup is fantastic.
And the cast is fantastic. Tim Roth, really? As the bad guy? And Michael Clark Duncan.
Good.
Paul Giamatti?
No.
Paul Giamatti.
Have you ever seen an interview? Paul Giamatti says that it was one of the greatest times he's ever had making a movie.
He hams it up the whole time. He has a blast.
He loved being in the ape costume.
Look at him in Amazing Spider-Man 2. Like, say hello. He's a big ham, and I love it.
I love Paul Giamatti.
All right, let's see. I'm going to go. Let's see. I'm looking at my list. All right, here's one that scared the crap out of me as a kid. I do not like horror movies. Let's say it. I'm not a horror movie guy. I don't like the jump scares. If something jumps out at me, I'm going to punch it in the face. All right. Also, I'm a firm believer. Hey, that house is pretty haunted. Don't go in there, people. It's like the Geico commercial where the people keep running into the more dangerous situations. Let's go hide behind those chainsaws like that. That's what horror movies are to me. But this one, the twist is actually super solid, and it makes the movie worth a rewatch. And it was memed hilariously in the Scary Movie franchise. And that is The Others, starring Nicole Kidman. Did you ever see The Others?
I did back in high school. We watched it in
2001. Yeah, that movie was 2001. Yeah. So The Others is about this family. It's a mother and two children, and her husband had gone off to war and never came back. And they're living in this mansion, and the kids have a sensitivity to the sun. So all the drapes are closed all the time. Like, they can't be in the sun. And then they get haunted by these like new figures that are trying to get into the house. I think the husband comes back at one point. The end of the movie, though, we find out that Nicole Kidman and her kids were actually the ghosts the whole time. And, you know, obviously she like murdered her kids, killed herself after her husband didn't come back, and he died, and he's a ghost too. But it makes the movie worth quite the rewatch, because at the end they realize, hey, we're actually ghosts, and like they embrace it, which is even creepier. And of course, there's the iconic scene of the girl sitting there, and like the ghost is overlaid with her, or like the person's overlaid with her. I am your daughter. It still scares the shit out of me. But any thoughts on the others, Sean?
Then we got the Michael Jackson spoof in Scary Movie
3. Oh God, that was it's so messed up. The whole, I didn't touch her, she's a girl. Like, oh God. It's messed up. So messed up.
No, the others was, that was such a, because that was during the Nicole Kidman boom. Like, she was like in every movie, it felt like, for like a 3-year period. Yeah. And but what I loved about that movie was it was just so, what's the word I'm looking for? It wasn't any big budget. It was a small budget film. It was shot beautifully. I want to say the lighting was like done in a way that made it like there was no like, extra lights. They used just like candles and stuff like that. And it was just, I mean, the best word to describe it, it was just creepy. And yeah. I love movies like that. I love movies where the atmosphere is just, you don't know what's coming, what's over your shoulder. You have no clue. It's silent. It's, you know, no, there's nothing out in the distance. It's just you and your thoughts. And it's done very, very well.
All right. So if you want to keep going with the ghost theme, I feel like I know what movie you would pick if we kept with that sort of theme. Greatest movie twist.
Well, I got one, but it's not a ghost theme.
Okay,
one.
Then I'll save the next ghost one. Go ahead.
All right. And I've got the 1960 Alfred Hitchcock Psycho. Psycho has both plot twist and one of the, I could say it's one of the better endings in movie history, but the biggest plot twist is obviously, Marion Crane playing by Janet Leigh. She's stolen some money. She's driving to her boyfriend because she's going to give him the money. And she ends up spending the night at a motel on the side of the road. And she befriends the owner. They talk. She goes back to her room. She's going to return the money. She takes a shower and somebody comes in and murders her, and at the time, 1960, Janet Leigh was a huge movie star. And like, we're only a half hour into the movie and the star of your movie is basically is dead. And no one had ever seen that before. So the plot twist was taking this storyline, basically throwing it to the side. And it's like, oh, hey, this guy you just met 5 minutes ago, the story's about him now. And it was something that the audiences had never seen before. And then obviously the famous movie ending about it is it's actually Norman Bates is the killer. He is just dressing up as his mother because he's killed his mother.
His body is upstairs.
Body is upstairs and he keeps the skeleton as best as it keeps. And he talks in her voice, walks around the house in her clothes. And he's, basically, schizophrenic. He is, he talks as himself and then he talks in the mother's voice. So he falls in love with Marion Crane. His mother's jealous and the mother kills her. I mean, it is, even to this day, it's just one of those movies that you still can't believe was actually made. You're like, wow, how'd they get away with this? And that's what makes this movie so fantastic.
And if you listen to our previous episode about movie Urban Legends, we bring up that movie and the infamous, famous Flushing Toilet. The first one ever seen on film.
True that. True. All right, I got to hear the ghost one. What do you got?
Really? You didn't think of this one? I'm kind of surprised.
It very well could have. I'm just blanking on what it is.
And of course, I am talking one of the most iconic of our generation was the M. Night Shyamalan first film, The Sixth Sense. Now, M. Night Shyamalan became famous for his plot twists. And we'll talk about his biggest movies first, right?
Because Are You Afraid of the Dark did it first.
Are You Afraid of the Dark always did it first, right? But M. Night Shyamalan, I'm going to talk three movies of M. Night Shyamalan. I'm going to talk really quick. Sixth Sense, Unbreakable, and Signs is less of a, like, he did plot twists in like The Village and stuff like that, but his movies got bad. But those three were fantastic and they're still watchable. They're still really good. I'll even put what's it called? Not Glass, because I hated Glass, but what was the one before it? Split. The twist of finding out that it was a sequel to Unbreakable at the end was so good. But you have The Sixth Sense where you find out Bruce Willis' character was dead all along. And again, it makes the movie so rewatchable because even though they show scenes of like him reliving some of the moments in the film where like you think his wife is just ignoring him and stuff like that, it's a great scene when he realizes that he's actually been dead the whole time. And again, makes the movie worth a rewatch. Signs, not as much of a plot twist. Like there is really no plot twist of it besides the water thing.
Yeah, the water thing and the stuff with his wife.
Yeah.
And how she kind of like had a premonition about it or something like that.
Personally, I thought Watching the movie, I thought that the kid was actually an alien or like part alien because like she doesn't like water the whole time.
Yeah.
There's a
Like,
running
they
theory.
just have the water just build up and build up and build up. Unbreakable, though, is, I think, one of those. That was a good one. Unbreakable. I haven't seen that movie in so long.
Well, Unbreakable is a very slow movie, especially nowadays. It was the first really just out there superhero type film where it's really kind of explored the superhero landscape. But when you find out at the end that
Sam Jackson has planned all this.
and he did all of it, he killed hundreds of people just to find, and like, oh my God, it's wild. And again, it's super grounded. It's very grounded in real life. Like basically, Sam Jackson is so breakable that he believes that on the other end of the spectrum, there has to be somebody whose bones are denser, who has thicker skin, like all that stuff. Like it's not outside the realm of possibilities, which is even more fun. But then, yeah, you find out at the end that Sam Jackson was so desperate to find this other person that he killed a ton of people to do it. And it is such a great twist, such a good twist. And then they tried it in Glass. It didn't work. Glass was I hated Glass. Did you ever see it?
No, you guys went to see it and you said it was so bad that I was just like, okay,
It
I
was
don't need to
so.
watch this.
Split was fantastic. I really like Split. And obviously, James McAvoy kills it as that character because he plays a ton of different characters. But oh my God, Glass comes out and it was the disappointment in almost every capacity. But yeah, it's
I
just.
mean, I you M. Night Shyamalan arguably had probably one of the better first three movies a director can have. And just it got to his head. He just, the stories just kind of became a little too predictable or just not good. I mean, literally, he did not have a. I mean, depending on who you ask, some people like The Village, some people can't stand The Village. But like The Village, Lady in the Water, Remember the Happening. I mean, they were all just like bombs. They just, and then I mean, I hate to say it, he became a joke. Whenever you saw his name attached to something, you were like, oh, all right. I don't need to see this.
There we go.
Remember when that elevator movie came out,
Oh, Devil.
Devil, and they were like from M. Night Shyamalan. We're all just like, oh, all right,
The
we're
whole
good.
theater groaned. I remember when we were seeing, I don't remember what movie we were seeing, but that trailer popped up and it said from M. Night Shyamalan, and everybody's like, oh. All right, we got one more each. Do you think we could do one more each?
Oh, absolutely. I got a big one
All
that,
right.
and that is Star Wars. Empire Strikes Back.
Ooh, that is a good one.
One of the most unexpected endings, probably also in movie history. You get the famous line, "I am your father," and I wish I could go back to 1980 and be in a movie theater to see that live, because oh, can only imagine the craziness that ensued. I mean, there was no internet, there was no anything to like for people to express their shock or anything like that. I always think of the it was a, I don't know what episode it's from, The Simpsons, where they flash back to like Homer and Marge. I don't know if it was like they're and he goes, "I can't believe that Darth Vader's Luke Skywalker's father," out loud in front of all the people
As
waiting to
they're
get
walking out of
into
the
the
theater.
theater. And it's like, oh gee, thanks, Mr. Spoil. And it was just it's fun, not funny. But I mean, that is, I mean, to the point where like the actors were just like, nah, this can't be true. How are they gonna fix this in the next one? How are they gonna say that this was, a lie? Was he just, what are they gonna do with it? And well, they stuck to it. He stuck to it. It was like, no, this is true. This is happening.
I think when they were
So
actually filming
I
it.
think that is hands down. They had a separate script. They had like a different dialogue, for that. Like I think he originally said that Obi-Wan
Obi-Wan killed your
killed
father.
your father. Yeah, something
No.
like that. And but in terms of like, because again, everybody knows that the actor who's portraying Darth Vader, they just wanted his, body language to be there. And then Luke screams normally like he would at either of those, things. And there you go. And you just sub in James Earl Jones' voice, and boom, you have, one of the greatest scenes ever.
All right, I got one more. Now, unfortunately, you kind of set the bar really high with Empire Strikes Back. I should have had you do that last. That would have been good. But here's a movie that I thoroughly enjoy. And again, we're going back a little bit more Edward Norton, but this time with good old Richard Gere. And that is Primal Fear.
Yes.
You ever see You've seen Primal Fear?
A long time ago, but that movie was, yeah.
So Primal Fear stars Edward Norton. He plays a guy who's arrested for, I think it's murder, if memory serves correct. But basically he was an altar boy named Aaron. He's caught fleeing the scene of a murder covered in blood. And apparently he has some sort of split personality, blah, blah, blah. At the end of the movie, after he gets acquitted, he's like, all right, you're good. You weren't responsible for this. He's like, cool, psych, gotcha. Never had a split personality. And he's like, da, 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 da. But yeah, the whole movie, he's like putting on this insanity defense. And then it turns out he wasn't crazy at all. And he tricked everyone. But there are a lot of other ones, you know, some other movies. I'm trying to think of some.
That was a great scene though, when he reveals all that to Richard Gere.
Oh my God. That movie got quite a few awards as well.
That was like his first big movie too, Edward Norton.
But yeah, there's a ton of great ones. That's just a very small list. So if you guys are watching on YouTube, leave a comment down below. Tell us some of your favorite movie twists or surprises or plot endings, or tell us some of the worst ones. Some of like the worst, like Sean never saw Split, or not Split, Glass. Glass has like one of the worst twists of all time. But anyway, so leave us a comment down below. Let us know. Now we do have some Fan Feedback Friday. Sean, you ready for Fan Feedback Friday?
Yes, sir.
All right, so this week I did a combo thing where it was a section of video games and a section of movies. It's 1993, pick a new game and movie to spend the night with. So I'm not going to list all of these because there's a lot. Actually, I can do really quick. Let's see. For the games, can't read all of them, sorry. Street Fighter 2, Golden Axe 2, Super Mario All-Stars, Castlevania, Zombies vs. Neighbors, Mortal Kombat, Doom, Gunstar Heroes, Star Fox, Battletoads, SimCity 2000, Secret of Mana, and there's one more I can't read. And then for movies, we have RoboCop 3, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, Demolition Man, Hot Shots Part 2, Last Action Hero, Super Mario Brothers, Groundhog Day, Falling Down, Jurassic Park, and The Nightmare Before Christmas. Nailed it. All right. And we have, so basically you pick one. I have Mortal Kombat and Hot Shots, Zombies Ate My Neighbors and Last Action Hero, Shadowrun and Demolition Man, Mortal Kombat and The Nightmare Before Christmas. So if you guys want to participate, well, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I seriously think that my combination of Last Action Hero and Zombies Ate My Neighbors was an actual combination I had back then.
Oh, yeah, I can see.
I rented Last Action Hero so many times. I love that movie.
Such a good movie. We did an episode on it. Check it out. Like, comment,
subscribe. We did. Check it out.
Yeah. But if you guys want to participate in Fan Feedback Friday, it's super easy. Just go to our Facebook page every Friday between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. You'll see our Fan Feedback Friday. So like, comment, subscribe, all that stuff. And you guys can hear your answers on our show. We also have all the social media. We're on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, everything. Just type in Cinematic Adventures or The Misfit Faction. Odds are you'll find some of our stuff. But I think that's going to wrap us up today, because I don't have a plot twist for the end of this episode. You just see this Robbie pop up.
Multiverse fan cast all along.
The magic was inside you all along. You just didn't know.
Oh, wait, there's Ronnie right behind you.
Is Dumbo a plot twist, like an ending where he could fly the whole time? I'm going to count it. I'm going to count that as an unexpected plot twist. Dumbo can fly the whole time. Plot twist. On that note. Yep, there you go, Sean. You're welcome. And on that note, as always, I'm Paul.
I'm Sean.
And we'll see you guys next time.